Look at Ephesians chapter 3 for just a moment. The Bible said that Christ, in verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is, with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray and we'll head back to chapter 1. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you for your people, Lord, that have gathered for prayer meeting tonight. Lord, I'm well aware that there's several in this auditorium that really don't feel like being here. But Lord, they're here. They pushed and came on. And Lord, I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for, Lord, for what you're doing among our young people. I pray, dear God, that you would just continue to keep your hand on them. Lord, let us see some of them young and saved. Let us see their testimony spared, Lord, from the devil and, Lord, what he is desiring to do in their lives. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you would encourage us in the Word of God and strengthen us, our Father, that we might be a blessing to your dear children that have gathered here tonight. God will give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you'll go back with me to Ephesians chapter number 1, I'm going to give you the word that I kind of honed in on this morning as a study. And I've just been trying to go through the book of Ephesians and mind the Lord. And I want us to look tonight at the subject, our purpose in Him. Our purpose in Him. If you'll look with me tonight in verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter 1, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. We talked about that the last time, our inheritance. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want to thank God tonight that we have a purpose tonight in order that God might help us to do what God would have us to do as his people. I want to give you four things tonight hurriedly. And I believe in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 11, the Bible talked about that inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance. We've been saved by the grace of God. But we've been predestinated, the Bible said, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own good will. So we know tonight that according to that scripture, God has a purpose for every born-again believer in this world. I think sometimes we think about being saved and that's the end of it. No, being saved is the beginning of it. Whether we're saved when we're young, or whether we're saved in our middle years, or whether we're saved in the upper years, God has saved us and left us here with a distinct purpose in mind. And I think that what I'm going to share with you tonight, you'll agree with me, I believe, after that I share it with you, that this would apply across the board. Everybody's not a missionary. Everybody's not a pastor. Everybody's not an evangelist. Everybody's not a Sunday school teacher. But I'll tell you what, I believe these things that God has shown me in the Scripture would apply to every born-again believer, male or female. It wouldn't matter. Young or old, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter what country we're from. I believe these would apply. I think about the pictures that I get every once in a while from Brother Keith, what's going on in Africa, and the people that get their first Bible and hold it up, and how they're just so excited to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. Amen? And if you're saved tonight, you're a part of something that's much bigger than yourself. And let me give you this. It's much bigger than Bible Way. It's much bigger than all the independent fundamental churches in Kingsport. It's worldwide. It's big and it's important. The first thing I want to give you tonight, if we're going to fulfill our purpose in Him, I believe we're going to have to realize that we've been purchased. You say, Pastor, look in verse 14. The Bible said, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Beloved, listen, I don't know how it was when you got saved, but it did not take me just hours. I mean, it was really early on. Of course, I had some church background for 6.5 years before I come to know the Lord. I was hearing right doctrine. I was hearing Bible teaching. But beloved, I realized when God saved me that night, it was no longer about me. It was about Him. And what I wanted to do for Him was anything that He wanted me to do. That is the truth. It was an absolute white flag surrender. I made mention a couple Sundays back in a Sunday morning, I made mention that I had even preached before I got saved. And I didn't tell the rest of the story. I didn't realize that. But when I went in on a Tuesday night, my pastor said to me, he said, there's going to be a big difference in your ministry. And I said, what do you mean? I'd actually led my first cousin to Christ the Tuesday night after I was saved on Sunday night. And it was glorious. I mean, it was wonderful. And my pastor said, you're going to be, you know, in your ministry. I said, what do you mean, Pastor? And he said, you know, in your preaching. And I told my pastor that night, I said, Pastor, listen, God saved me Sunday night. And I said, all of that stuff back there was an effort to do something to please God. I said, if God wants me to preach, He knows where I am. But I said, if God don't call me, I'll never step in a pulpit again in my life. I remember looking at my pastor and saying, Pastor, I don't have to do anything to be happy. I'm saved. I just realized God had bought me and God had paid for me. And it was no longer about my effort, amen, but it was the grace of God that had picked me up out of that mess, amen. And I was so ashamed and so, I guess, like Jesus, humiliated in that sense that you would come to a place like that. But what a good place to be. And I realized that I had been purchased. Now, 30 days later, the rest of the story, I had already agreed before I was saved to go with them to a pastor's conference. And I told my pastor, I said, I'm not going to go. No need in that now. He said, Rick, you ought to go. He said, laymen go. Deacons go. Sunday school teachers go. He said, you ought to go. And I said, well, I'll think about it, brother. I'll pray about it. And I'll be honest with you. The reason I went, Preston, it's because there was four of us going that were going to split the gas and split the motel bills and the things of that nature. And so if I bow out, Brother Steve, you're well aware of that. That leaves three of them and then the price. So it was more or less out of, I don't know, not obligation, so to speak, but out of, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. Out of what, brother?
Courtesy.
Yeah, it was more or less out of character. I said I would do something, courtesy, character. I just wanted to do it because I said I would do it. Already had it worked out to get the time off. Well, we get there in that pastor's conference, and my pastor, he said, Preacher, I don't know what this has got to do with glory in the church. I know what it's got to do with. It's got everything to do with it. I wouldn't be here tonight. Amen? But I realized I was purchased. I realized I didn't belong to myself anymore. And so you say, Pastor, how in the world did you start preaching? Well, my pastor's from North Carolina, and different men in our section, we were up in the balcony, and different men in our section, my pastor had talked to them all week, and all he had said was this, pray for that boy. God's got his hand on that boy. Pray for that boy. I didn't know they was praying, and it didn't matter, but I'm glad they was praying, amen. He said, what happened, preacher? I'll tell you what happened. I went down between two pews because there was nowhere else to go, Brother Wayne. The aisles were full. The altar was full. The pastor had preached a message on this kind of faith. And he said, that's what we need. This kind, this kind. And he said, the hope of America's in this room tonight. In other words, Bible believers. Amen. He said, we need to get on our face and pray for America. All I can tell you is, I went down between two pews praying and come up preaching. And I've been preaching ever since. Amen. Those guys in that section heard the praying turn into preaching. And I got up. That pastor said that night. He said, fellas, he said, God has put his hand on some young man and called you to preach. You're going to preach the word of God. He said, young man, come down here. I thought he was talking to me. I didn't realize when I got down there there'd be 136 other men. There was 137 of us. I don't know where the other 136 are tonight. But I know what God did in my heart that night. I know what God did when he saved me. There's two things old Slewfoot ain't never been able to make me doubt. God saved me that night in February and that night in March. He called me to preach this blessed old book. He said, boy, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to me. That's a happy place to be. Amen. To get to a place where you believe. If you're going to give God the glory, we've got to realize we've been purchased by him. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 20. Let's start reading right there tonight. Listen to these verses tonight. The Bible said, you're bought with a price. The Bible said here in verse number 20, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Beloved, I'll tell you something tonight. You want to meet a miserable person? You meet somebody that has met Christ in faith and genuinely been born again and got up off the altar to go live for themselves. They don't realize they're part of that bride, that purchased possession, that they don't belong to themselves anymore, but they belong to him. The Word of God said in verse 23 of the next chapter, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. I believe there's a lot of men, Brother Steve, that's fell in that trap. They've been saved, and they think that they're here to please men. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something tonight. We're here to please God. Amen. And you say, Pastor, I don't want conflict. I taught on that the other day with the young people. That's not something I want. But if preaching this book causes conflict, then we're just going to have some conflict. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God will stand. Daddy used to say it over and over, when the world's on fire, this book is already settled in heaven. So if we're going to bring glory to God in the church, we need to realize our purpose in him, realize we've been purchased. And then our purpose is not only to think about the fact that we've been purchased, but our purpose is to praise him. Look at verse 14 of this same chapter. The Bible said, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I'll tell you something tonight. I believe we're way behind in that category. I believe we're to praise him. Brother Junior, that's part of what singing's about. Amen. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Amen. I tell you, there ought to be a time if our hand don't go up, our heart ought to go up. And there ought to be a time when our heart goes up so good that our hands go up. And we just want to praise him, unashamed of him. I believe when you get over there in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, you see a bunch of people that were unashamed to praise the Lord. Look with me, if you will, tonight in Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 3. Just give you a couple verses of Scripture I believe that God put in our hearts tonight to share with you. Psalms chapter 22 and verse number 23. The Bible said here, ye that fear the Lord, how many here tonight fears the Lord? You know, that's not talking about backing up in the corner like a scaredy cat, but that's talking about a reverence. We realize he's holy. Say amen. He's not the old man upstairs. Amen. He's our heavenly Father.
I hate to hear people address God irreverently, don't you? Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All you the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All ye the seed of Israel. Turn to 1 Peter quickly and chapter 2 and verse number 9. Here's another verse of Scripture tonight that speaks to this. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation. How many can get in on that right there? Amen. He said you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises. That's why God set us apart. That's why we don't blend in. That's why He said, come out from among them and be ye separate people, saith the Lord. That's why He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because, beloved, He wants us to praise Him. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His, and He uses a big adjective right here, marvelous, marvelous light. I believe Brother Junior, one of the songwriters, said, marvelous grace of our matchless Lord. It's marvelous light. It's marvelous grace. It's marvelous mercy that you and I get to enter into tonight. And He is worthy of our praise. Something that I didn't think about, but turn to Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. I think this is very, very good. You say, praise, a lot of people think praise is just hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I want to tell you something. God give us a definition here in the book of Hebrews. And I've said for years, there's two things that'll cause the Lord to show up. If you want the Lord to show up in your prayer life, you just start thanking Him. Just stop asking for a little while and start thanking Him. It won't be long, Brother Adam, there'll be tears running down your chin. Thank you for my wife, Lord. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my job, Lord. I'm going to tell you something right. When you get in the right kind of thankful spirit, it will make a peanut butter cracker taste good. Amen. I don't know if we ever realize this or not, but there's a lot of people in this world that don't even have a clean peanut butter cracker to eat. And beloved, watch what the Bible said. I think this will help us tonight. Our purpose is to praise Him. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 15 and 16. The Bible said, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. I wonder why the Bible said sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. I'll tell you what I think about this. I believe it's a sacrifice because the flesh wants no part of it. Say amen. Anything that's good, the flesh don't want no part of it. And when God said to praise Him, the flesh, it's a sacrifice of praise. And then what's the next word after God? How many finds yourself up and down? Help me tonight. You got the mully grubs one minute and you're praising God the next minute. You never know, amen, where you're going to be. God said He ought to praise Him continually. You say, what's going to happen in heaven? I don't know what all's going to happen, but I believe there's going to be uninterrupted praise to the Lamb of God that took away our sin. Amen. I believe there's going to be uninterrupted worship. Watch this now. The Bible said this, the sacrifice of God continually, then it gives you a definition. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. I was communicating a little bit today with Brother Johnny Taylor, and they're getting ready to do the surgery on Harper, and I've been communicating with him for a day or two now, and he texted me and he said the surgery's been put off until tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And I'll be honest with you, that troubled me a little bit. You say, Pastor, why would that trouble you? I'll tell you why. Because men are just men and they're human, Brother Steve. And if you're going to start an 8-hour surgery at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, somebody help me. Amen. They worked on Brother Brian, I believe, 22 hours. But they were rotating in and out. I'm telling you, it just concerned me. I didn't say I was worried about it, but it concerned me a little bit. Got a text. They've moved it up to noon. I said, that sounds better. Amen. But here's what I told Brother Johnny. I said, that baby's in good hands. Earthly and heavenly. That baby's in good hands. Amen. And I believe that with all of my heart. Want to thank him. Want to thank him that he knows what we need even before we ask. He said, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe the second thing in the message tonight has a lot to do with the first thing. If we don't realize we don't belong to ourselves, then we're never going to find ourselves praising God continually. Amen. We're going to be living a life short of God's purpose for our life because we'll be living it for ourselves instead of for Him. The third thing I want to give you tonight, I'll give you four things. The third thing is this. Our purpose, we've got to realize we've been purchased. We've got to realize our purpose is to praise Him, but our purpose is to prioritize Him. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. Tomorrow, Miss Eve and I will be married since 1979. 43, Brother Steve, 43. Where? See, the mathematicians out there with the teenagers, that's my wife. Is it 43? Is that good? Somebody give me a thumbs up. Get your oh, my goodness. She's sitting in the bed. I just turned red. Hey, man. She sneaked in here and sitting in the back. I don't even know if I can finish preaching now or not. I ain't been red in a long time, but I can tell I'm red. I'll just say this, Brother Adam, if you'll pray right hard, red is better than dead. Amen. Rick's nodding his head. He knows what I'm talking about. Amen. Put your shovel up, preacher. Quit digging the holes deep enough. Amen. Amen. We've been married 43 years. And I'll tell you, according to the Bible, my wife, as far as down here, yes, sir, she's to have a priority. But she's not to get in front of him. And she knows that. And her husband's not to get in front of him. And she knows that. Say amen. There's a whole lot of folks getting in trouble in their walk with God. Even, Miss Hannah, you're sitting back there. It's happened to where that little baby comes along. And then the first thing you know, your whole life revolves around that little baby. And listen to me. Listen to me. There's a danger. Brother Preston, There's husbands and wives that's raised children and got them through school and got them through college and look at each other when the nest is empty and they don't even know each other because their whole life revolved around their children. And I'll say this tonight. There's a lot of people that are genuinely saved, but because Christ is not the priority in their life, there comes a day in their life when it's almost like they don't know Him. The Bible spoke of it in the book of Peter. They've forgotten that they've been purged. Ain't that right, Brother Steve? From their old sins. And God said, we need to remember. We need to remember. It's important that we prioritize Him. He needs to be the preeminent one. Let me tell you this. It's much better for Miss Eve if Christ is the preeminent one in my life. It's much better for Pastor if Christ is the preeminent one in her life. It's much better for our church if Christ is the preeminent one in the pastor's life. It's much better for the Sunday school class if Christ is the preeminent one. Over there, 3 John, Brother Steve, I believe it is Diotrephes. I believe I said his name right. The Bible said he loveth to have the preeminence among them. Oh, my goodness. You ever been somewhere where somebody thought they was somebody and wanted everybody to look at somebody instead of look at the Savior? That'll make you sick if you know Jesus. Say amen. He's to be the preeminent one. And beloved, tonight, that's our purpose. The Bible said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things I'm not adding to the Bible or taking away will be added unto you. What God is saying, the rest will just fall in place. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He's to be the preeminent one. If you look here, I believe we're in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read you a verse or two right here. We'll move on to the last thing.
in Ephesians chapter number 1 quickly. Listen to what he said. He said he's brought in Christ in verse 20 when he raised him from the dead, set him in his own right hand in his heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Brother Steve, that's where that statement come from when I put that little card together. 15 minutes that could make a difference in your life. Not only in this world, but there's a world to come. How many knows that? Amen. And I'm telling you, it's a lot more important than this one. But what we do in this one's going to determine where we're at in that one and our reward in that one as a child of God. He said to put all things under his feet and give him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He's to be the preeminent one. So our purpose tonight is to realize we've been purchased, to praise him, to prioritize him. And I'll give you the third thing, or the fourth thing tonight. Our purpose is to promote him. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Look at verse number 15. Paul, when he heard about what was going on down at the church at Ephesus, there were some things that just made him very, very thankful. Watch what he said. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, let me ask you this. How did he hear? Somebody was letting what was down on the inside of them come out of them. Somebody was speaking outwardly what had happened inwardly. And we need to promote him. Jesus, you remember, he said, this is not necessarily speaking of promotion, but it is in a way. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, he was talking about the death he was going to die, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Well, when we promote Jesus, we ought to be promoting the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, how that he was buried, how that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Can I tell you this tonight? That is the furthest thing from a lot of people's minds. The furthest thing. Most people tonight, if you have any kind of spiritual conversation at all, their mind goes one place first, church. There was a young man in our service Sunday, and I didn't even know the young man wasn't saved. But he heard the preaching of the Word of God Sunday morning, and he didn't like it. And he told the lady that invited him to church, this is what he said, this is why I don't like religion. That's what he said. I'm not down in the young man. You know where the young man's at? He's right where I was for 27 years. He's blind as a bat. He don't understand that pastor loves him. He don't understand that pastor's warning him. That pastor's trying to get between him and the gates of hell. He don't understand. There was a comment made. I don't like being put in the same category with a murderer and a rapist. He don't understand the verse of Scripture that says if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty. He don't understand that. I'm not criticizing the young man. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you think I'm going to change the message because it's offensive to some, beloved, the Bible teaches us the cross of Christ is an offense. When you start telling people there's only one way to heaven, and they're sitting there knowing that they've got people that in their family that are Muslims and Hindus, and they got people in their family that are Catholics, they got people that think the sacraments is going to solve their problems, they got people that think because they're sprinkled when they're a baby, they're going to heaven. You say, Pastor, I preached one time, listen, this years ago in another church. I made this statement. I'll tell you what, I said, open your King James Bibles, two, gave them the text. I said, if you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible. I made that statement. You say, Pastor, why would you make a statement like that? I didn't plan on it. I'll tell you why I made a statement like that. God knew what was going on. I didn't. There's a family in our church, their whole family, they had invited them, and every one of them was carrying something else.
I didn't know it, but God did. Take it up with Him. Amen. Take it up with Him. I stand where I stand, and that don't make me somebody. And I tell you what, I thank God there's at least a few that will stand with me. Amen. The truth is the truth, and it ain't changing for pastor, you, or nobody else. Amen. And so Christ is to be the preeminent one, but Christ is to be the one that's promoted. He's to be the one that's lifted up among us. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, let me ask you this. This is not a trick question. But how many born again people, those that are born again, how many has the Holy Ghost come upon? It's quiet. Y'all know the answer, surely, don't you? You know what the Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you left the altar without the Holy Ghost, you left without Jesus. If you left without Jesus, you left without salvation. And so why did God put the Holy Ghost in us? Why did God? Well, there's many reasons. One was to seal us. One, He's the earnest of our inheritance. But I tell you, another is He wanted us. He knew the flesh wasn't going to promote Him. Somebody say amen. He wanted us to have a new man that Brother Fred used to sing about down on the inside. He wanted us to have a new man that would raise up the man, Christ Jesus, to a world that's lost and dying without God. Acts chapter 8, turn there with me quickly. Acts chapter 8, a couple of verses of Scripture, and I'm done. Acts chapter 8, verse number 4. The Bible said, therefore they that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word. You say, Pastor, how can you say preaching the word is promoting Jesus? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. If somebody's preaching the word of God, they're promoting Jesus. I don't care if you're in the book of Exodus, or if you're in the book of Revelation, or if you're in the book of Ephesians, like we are tonight, you're promoting the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 11, verse number 20, what the Bible said here. I'll let you go. Chapter 11, verse number 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Well, I tell you what people need. I tell you who people need. They need the Lord Jesus. They need us to promote Him. Amen. If we're doing the right thing, we're not trying to point people to religion. We're trying to point them to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. The Bible said, now unto Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. How many are here tonight? You're glad God shared His secret with you. Boy, oh boy, I am too. Amen. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down because God can't keep a secret. Amen. He shared it with us. Somebody's glad you come tonight.